Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you, the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station we're listening to. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being. We have with us on the line from back in Kentucky, Colonel Ron Ray, a retired Marine Corps colonel. He was, of course, working in the White House, working with the Defense Department as under Assistant Secretary of Defense during the Reagan administration. He's been on the front lines of the battle to try to address the moral malaise that is gripping our nation. And of course, one of the things that really concerns us today is the effort to destroy the morals and morality of our armed forces by a concerted attack. You know, it was Sun Tzu, the Chinese philosopher, who said to fight and conquer in all of your battles is not supreme excellence. Supreme excellence consists of breaking the enemy's resistance without fighting. And we are the enemy. And if you can destroy the morals and morality of our military, you've destroyed the last pillar upon which the foundation of America rests. They've already undermined our educational system. They've taken God out of our education. They've infiltrated our churches and changed the music and the message of the church. They're working in our government. But now the military is under attack. And with that as a background, Colonel, thank you so very much for being with us.
Well, it's great to be with you, Stan. Great introduction. You know, we may look back... Historians may look back to this particular year or at this particular time when the last American institution with 230-year-old principles and standards that were still intact in time of war, we actually began to embrace the sexual revolution and all the chaos that it brought in our armed forces while at war.
And, of course, why would you do something like this unless you wanted specifically to undermine the fabric of our society? And of course, what about even the use of prayer at West Point in our military academies? What sort of insanity is this? I mean, men will not simply fight for material things. They have to fight for something they really believe in. And you remove the belief in God and in family, and they're certainly not going to fight simply for the salary they're going to be getting.
No, and you might have seen in the news, of course, there are many, many symptoms that reflect the larger underlying revolution that has gripped the military right now. The Army and the Army Guard and the Army Reserve have missed their recruiting quota dramatically over the last five or more months, and the newspaper headlines blared on Friday that they would offer for some specialized billets that they hadn't filled up to $40,000 for a signing bonus if they could recruit the right person in that job. So, I mean, we're really talking from an all-volunteer force in 1973, which is, of course, what George Washington had. Now we're to a mercenary force. And it wasn't very long historically after the all-volunteer force was adopted in 1973 it's amazing that the worst part of this revolution has occurred with Republican presidents viewed as conservatives by most folks in the White House has occurred. For example, women were against the law put in the service academies in 1976 with Gerald Ford in the White House, and his chief of staff, you know, was Dick Cheney, and Donald Rumsfeld was the Secretary of Defense.
We have a perception. We have a perception the Republicans are conservative. I've been on the Republican Central Committee of the state of California for a decade. I believe in what the Republican Party says it stands for. The only trouble is the leaders really don't. They have a different agenda. We'll be back here in just a moment with our special guest, Colonel Ron Ray. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this afternoon is Colonel Ron Ray, who is retired from the military, a retired Marine Corps colonel. He was Assistant Secretary of Defense under the Reagan administration. He has been on presidential commissions studying various issues as far as women in the military and homosexuality in the military. He's nationally known for his stand for moral standards within our military, standards which are rapidly being abandoned right here in the United States, and you destroy the moral foundation of our military. You undermine the last foundational block upon which our republic rests. They've already infiltrated our schools and our universities. They have infiltrated our government. They're certainly working within the media. They're working certainly within our churches. And the largest single television network in our country has been accused of homosexuality. That, of course, was on the air one or two days, and then completely forgotten. That nobody seems to really care very much whether this man who professes the word of God and is out there, of course, putting out hundreds of thousands of dollars Christians have sent in to pay off his homosexual lover, whatever that would be. But anyway, now, of course, we see the military increasingly under attack. And with that as the background, why don't you pick up the story there, Colonel?
Well, let's just say this. And what happened in the all-volunteer force, those of your listeners who were in the military or had family members in the military, at the end of the Vietnam War, remember that from the end of the Tet Offensive until 1973, when American forces were essentially pulled out, and the fall of Saigon in 75, our American military was in worse shape than most Americans can even imagine. There were places where, in other words, we're riven with drug use, riven with insubordination, riven with open warfare between the races in many places. Now, not on frontline units in Vietnam to any great extent, but I'm just saying there were whole places aboard ships where a white petty officer, a white officer, could not go and did not go to inspect the quarters. And at that point in time, we brought in this all-volunteer force, and immediately in the all-volunteer force, we put in the place where we train the future leaders of the combat arms in 1970 and 76. It was against the law for women to serve in combat. It was specifically against the law. Yet the conservative Republicans, as I described them, put women in the service academies, which began a march through this institution, the military institution, using as its principal weapon the notion that men and women were interchangeable militarily, women moving women towards combat, and homosexuality.
Hold that thought, Colonel. Well, Dr. Stan back here, and Colonel Ray is saying that actually, of course, once we went into the all-volunteer army, the Republican administration began introducing women into the military and encouraging homosexuality in the military, but made the women in the military suggesting that there's no difference between women and men. And that really, of course, women in combat is not that bad an idea. After all, aren't we all equal? And I'd like to suggest God did not make us equal. He made us men and he made us women. And I don't believe women have any business being on frontline combat. But, of course, right today, in fact, we were reading the other day where one of the women generals was saying how wonderful it was that women in American military units had been firing 50-caliber machine guns and dying right along with the men. Is that a sort of privilege you want for your daughter? Go ahead, Colonel.
Well, you're right. And progress is, as of about the end of March, maybe in April, there were, and these data is very hard to get from the Department of Defense, very hard to get clarified, 37 American women were dead, and at least 6 were identified as single mothers.
And, of course, a lot of them have lost their arms and legs as well.
We never want to talk about that, though. There was a front page of the New York Times above the fold. There were two women shown there that had both lost limbs, and they were going through their therapy, and that we put in there as a mark of progress. But the point is, the people forget sports originally in civilization. Sports were always used as a training ground for soldiers. That's what it was. Men competed against men in sport, and those who could endure hardship and team play and showed leadership and courage and skill. If you think about the Olympic Games, most of those events, the javelin throw, of course, is a spear. and the high jump, the wide jump, and all these kinds of things. Even the marathon was actually suited for a messenger delivering a message in time of war. So that's where we used we train. Now think about it in our society today. Sports, men and women don't compete against each other in high school, college, professional, or Olympic sports. They're separated. There's no outcry that the New York Giants or the San Francisco 49ers ought to have women on the football team, and that they should be there, and the numbers reflected in our society at large, and the failure to do so is discrimination. And the point is that football lasts 60 minutes with TV timeouts and halftime and break, and combat is much more demanding than sport. So we realize there's something profoundly wrong here. Wellington, at the Battle of after the Battle of Waterloo, gave a speech, really one of the first public speeches he gave, and he said, how was this great victory won? He said it was won on the playing fields of Eton. He was referring to the fact that the public schools in England, which produced the officers and leaders of British society in the early 19th century, that the playing fields that had produced those who were best able and best equipped to be officers in the British Army that defeated Napoleon. And that point has, if you look back throughout history, the only two major examples of women serving in combat was in the Soviet Union, which had almost his country had been invaded, and they had almost reached Moscow. The Battle of Stalingrad stopped it, and in Germany, where their country was invaded, national survival was at stake in both cases. And Germany was so traumatized that they actually put it in the West German Constitution that women would not serve in the combat arms. And that is similar. I talked to a lot of Russian generals up at Harvard, which is another story. I was sent up there while I was on the Presidential Commission to interview 25 or 30 former Soviet generals who were up at Harvard and being acquainted with democracy and democratic institutions. And I was up there to talk to them, and some of them thought it was extremely laughable, and others looked at us as fools for that we were even investigating the possibility of voluntarily using women in combat. But be that as it may,
well, don't you think it's really part of a social experiment, social engineering by those people who have a different agenda, a different worldview?
Well, no. In other words, I think the only way is that one only way you might convince somebody is that you're going to have a social experiment, which you would only do in peacetime. The fact of the matter is, the fruit of this is if you remember, throughout the 70s and 80s, we began to start hearing about sexual harassment in the armed forces. Back in 1997, it got so bad. Aberdeen Army Base, there were trials there of drill instructors who were engaged in Hugh Hefner Playboy Mansion kind of activities with recruits. They put men and women together in all the services, put men and women together in entry-level training. There were consensual sex. One drill instructor had so-called consensual sex with 11 trainees, and it was what generated in 1997 the Congress of the United States passed a law that was essentially a reaffirmation of something that went back to 1775 that required in the military, which is a 24/7. It's not a job. It's real service. That's why they call it going into the service. It requires exemplary conduct. It requires commanding officers to do everything to guard against and suppress immoral and dissolute practices, and to guard against and suppress immoral and dissolute conduct. And this was the original language that John Adams had written in 1775 for the Navy and the Marine Corps. George Washington had written similar language, but not the same terms, for the Continental Army. Remember, and I said this is 230 years old, from 1775 to 2005, 230 years. In 1776, 75 and 76, we really only had one. After the attack on Boston, there was only one viable American institution. In fact, if David McCullough, Skull and Bones from Yale, has got a new book out that'll be a bestseller. He is a very compelling writer of history for those that don't like it, and he's got a book out on 1776, and he makes the point: America hung in the balance on about 3,000 or 4,000 not well-fed, not well-clothed Continental soldiers. And I believe me, there was no sex abuse crisis going on. They were all men, and there was no sex abuse crisis going on in that military. they were held to a very high standard. And he said the miracle and the amazing thing is they hung together, even though they knew there were privations in their homes, even though they knew that nobody was putting a crop in the field, they had left their homes. And he describes that in great detail in 1776. So here we are 230 years later with that same principle as recently as 1997 to deal with the, remember what the commander-in-chief was doing, committing sodomy in the Oval Office repeatedly with an intern, taking advantage of his office, which was going on throughout the military in the 1990s, and we were supposedly fixing it. Congress passed the law, but since that time and when the election of George W. Bush, we've seen, instead of a conservative resistance to those kinds of change, and you might remember the debates on homosexuality in the military in 1993 that I was much a part of, with George W. Bush and the conservative churches, so-called, and the religious right and all the evangelicals, they're not looking at what's going on, and much more undermining these principles in the armed forces is happening in this administration than what happened under Bill Clinton.
What a tragedy it is. Well, of course, my understanding now that there's even a conscious effort to actually punish people within the military academies who are talking about their Christian faith.
No question. If you've paid any attention to what's going on in Colorado, at the Air Force Academy, the superintendent there's name is Rasa, Lieutenant General Rasa, and there was a young cadet recently. A couple of the leaders that had just about to graduate sent emails to the rest of the Corps, basically the Corps of Cadets at the Air Force Academy, and they were giving them advice, and they were suggesting things to them. One sent out that he said, remember that make sure you participate in the National Day of Prayer. I'm a Christian. The National Day of Prayer, called on by the President and the Congress of the United States, is a very important day in May. Be sure you participate. And he said, remember, your first duty is to God, then to country. And the superintendent called him in and said, those remarks are inappropriate here. And then there's been an investigation. The Inspector General of the Department of Defense, a panel went out to look at the sex abuse crisis at the Air Force Academy and came back and made recommendations that they should adopt something along the Kinsey-based Illinois Crime Commission. They should adopt a civilian public health model or a civilian counseling model, taking it out of the hands, this kind of behavior, out of the hands of the commanding officer, completely undoing the chain of command, undoing that, and recommending that that when anyone believes that they've been male or female, this is gender neutral now, have been subjected to sexual harassment or sexual abuse, that you immediately call in. And these could be civilian organizations. And if you think about this model, Stan, I know you're very familiar with the Soviet model. This is the introduction now into our military of the political officer, who will not be answerable to the chain of command and who can overrule him in certain areas where there's a political interest and the party line is not being followed.
And, of course, that will not be a party line of morality. It would be, I suspect, more a pragmatic approach to a problem.
There's no question about it. And if you look at what's being suggested and what's being said, a year ago, in May of 2004, the DOD task force made a specific recommendation that the military adopt the Illinois Crime Commission model. Illinois was the first state to adopt the ALI model penal code based on the Kinsey reports. And that was done in 1961 because they wanted to reduce crime. Well, I can tell you, and you know a great deal about it. You've interviewed Dr. Reisman and my wife, and I've talked to you about the Kinsey fraud and that whole thing. But some of the most conservative estimates that we've had an increase of nearly 1,000% in violent crime since we removed the 52 laws that protected marriage, women, and children. That's coming to the military as we speak.
Well, we're going to be back here in just a couple of minutes with Colonel Ron Ray. Ladies and gentlemen, when a country loses its moral foundation, why, of course, that country will not be held together for very long. There's no instance in all history where a nation has turned against God and morality where that nation has survived. And what's happening is not happening by accident. It is my contention, and I suspect Colonel Ray's as well. It's happening by intent. It's organized. It's orchestrated. And if you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, or gotten the Colonel Ray's material, you really need to, and we'll tell you how to do that when we get back here at Radio Liberty.
most people laugh at the idea that there is or has been a secret society. I wanted to tell you about a tape we have. It's a talk I gave before the Concerned Women of America some years ago, and it basically goes back into the background behind the secret society, which was formed in England and eventually came to America and came to be known as the Council on Foreign Relations. It goes into the background of Cecil Rhodes. And how does that secret society that he created impact on you today? If you read the works of Professor Carol Quigley, who was Bill Clinton's mentor, you'll understand that Professor Quigley is probably one of the leading experts today on history, but also a man who had the courage to speak out. You need to get the four-tape set, The Secret Government, to understand what Professor Quigley taught Bill Clinton. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, because America is under attack today.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. In November of 1991, the 60 Minutes television show first reported on the French paradox, the fact the French violate every dietary rule for good health, eat a diet rich in fats and calories, and yet exhibit far better cardiovascular health than North Americans. Over a decade later, we know that molecules called polyphenols are responsible for the health benefits in red wine. But those molecules only remain stable in a sealed bottle of red wine. Longevinix is the first dietary supplement to stabilize red wine molecules in a sealed capsule, just like a corked bottle of red wine, providing red wine polyphenols without the calories, alcohol, and sulfite preservatives. One Longevinix capsule is equivalent in polyphenols to drinking 5 glasses of red wine. Call 866-405-4000 today to order Longevinix. It's a revolutionary dietary supplement. 866-405-4000. This is health journalist Bill Sardi.
Have you purchased or invested in gold and silver coins or bullion in the last several years? If so, you've most likely been taken advantage of. In a lot of cases, out and out lied to. There are several tricks of the trade in play in the precious metals and collector coin markets. This is especially true during a hot market. Although it doesn't take a savvy investor to avoid the pitfalls of unscrupulous coin and metals dealers, it does take some common sense and the knowledge of which questions to ask. The asset management professionals at Colonial Resources can arm you with a few simple questions to ask your current broker or coin dealer. To find out if you've been taken advantage of, or if you're thinking of investing, call Colonial Resources toll-free, 1-800-685-4042. The precious metals and collector coin markets are hot and definitely where the smart money is heading. But before you make a mistake that could cost you hundreds or even thousands of dollars, call the professionals at Colonial Resources. The call and the advice are free. 1-800-685-4042. That's 800-685-4042.
Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs, in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon, Colonel Ron Raver, talking about really what's happening in our service academies, what's happening at the Air Force Academy. A senior cadet, one of the outstanding members of his class, would be called in and chastened for telling people about the day of prayer and professing the fact that he is a Christian. I mean, where, of course, does the commander get off doing that? Why, very obviously, they want to destroy the religious faith of our military. And does anybody really think that if these people have no faith and belief in God, that they're going to try to defend our country? So pick up the story there, Colonel.
Well, the superintendent later showed up, and I don't know whether he volunteered or was invited, but he came and confessed that there was a widespread bigotry, religious discrimination at the Air Force Academy at a meeting of the Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rith, who you will recall, Stan, is one of the many radical organizations, un-American organizations, that filed briefs in the VMI prayer case to take prayer out of a military officer training at the Citadel, VMI, and the Naval Academy. And the Citadel caved in, and the VMI fought it and got a very unusual backhanded victory out of the Supreme Court by declining the case. But the Naval Academy resisted it. Interestingly enough, Lieutenant General Reza, who chastened these two cadets, the other one was the number one in his class, the top graduate at the Air Force Academy, sent out 20 pages to all his fellow cadets of some of the things he'd learned in his 4 years as a cadet, the important things. And they were quotes from people like Gandhi. They were quotes from many different people. And Martin Luther King, many different folks. But the focus of the attention of the administration at the Air Force Academy was that he quoted the Bible 4 or 5 times, and he was told that was inappropriate. Well, this superintendent at the Air Force Academy is in the short list for consideration of becoming the president of the Citadel, the military college of South Carolina, which, like VMI, has been under attack for not only prayer, but to force women into the Corps of Cadets at both places. Opinion written in the Supreme Court by Ruth Bader Ginsburg. And if anybody wants to see a very clear example, Stan, of why the two parties are not that different, is look at the vote in the U.S. Senate when Ruth Bader Ginsburg, a radical who'd been very much involved with the ACLU, a board member at one time general counsel of the American Civil Liberties Union, was confirmed with only 3 dissenting votes in the U.S. Senate to the U.S. Supreme Court. She authored the opinion forcing women into the Virginia Military Institute, which immediately caused a radical change to the Corps of Cadets.
And, of course, isn't it interesting that when, of course, a real constitutionalist and Christian is nominated for the Supreme Court, the Democrats hold all their people together to vote against him. When a radical leftist is nominated to the Supreme Court, the Republicans, as well as the Democrats, flock to support them. Why would that be if the Republican Party is standing for God and country? Or maybe it's all perception. Maybe it is part of this whole idea of deceiving the American people. And the truth of the matter is the leadership of both political parties are radically to the left because they know whoever controls the Supreme Court controls the destiny of our society.
Well, you pointed out and gave me a copy of the Foundations and Their Power and Influence back in 1993 when I was a leading proponent of upholding the long-standing ban on homosexuality and sodomy in the armed forces. And when I went through that book very carefully and also read the Naked Capitalist, which basically outlined the summary of the findings of the Reese Committee in 1953 and 54, and they would it says that all social science social scientists who disagree or criticize would be suppressed. That an elite core of social scientists would be developed who believe in remaking America along socialist lines. Obviously, the foundation-sponsored Kinsey Report was deliberately designed as an attack on Judaic-Christian morality, but they intended, and this is it contained in page 105 and 110 of the foundations. Of those of you who have the book, you might read it. Using social science to sabotage the structure of the military services. That was published in the Reese Committee report in 1955, and there it is. It's happening now, 50 years later.
And of course, people don't understand there really are people within our country, and they're not communists. They finance communism. They work with communism, but they're not really communists. They want an authoritarian system here, and they know the best way to do it is to destroy the religious foundation of this country. They're doing a great job. They've taken God out of our schools. They're not allowed in our schools to even mention the possibility that God created the heaven and the earth. And our educational system is not education. It's indoctrination in hatred of God and hatred of family and hatred of country. And then we wonder why we have so many mixed up kids today. We'll be back in just a moment here at Radio Liberty.
But if there's any one tape that you should hear, it's my talk on geopolitics, an untold story that is vitally important if America is to survive as a free nation. It goes into the background of the forces that have created the wars of the 20th century, the Boer War, the First World War, the Second World War, Korea, Vietnam. We go into the ideological and the spiritual battle behind the forces that have moved America from crisis to crisis and are currently undermining the very fabric of our society. That number again, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and the tape, Geopolitics. It is vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for copies of my talk on geopolitics.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done: get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap. It's a miracle.
Sophisticated investors are buying gold and silver today because the dollar has lost almost 50% of its value in relationship to the euro, and the price of gold and silver has increased almost 40%. If you're interested in learning more about precious metal investing, why don't you call Bo at 831-423-0177. That's 831-423-0177, or visit him at Elliott's Stamp and Coin Shop in downtown Santa Cruz at 141 South River Street in the San Lorenzo office building, which is located between Trader Joe's and the Signature Twin Movie Theater. Bo's telephone number is 831-423-0177. That's 831-423-0177. And he's located at 141 South River Street in the San Lorenzo office building. And if you mention you heard about Elliott Stamp and Coin Shop on Radio Liberty, why, you'll get a 15% discount on some non-investment items. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon, Colonel Ron Ray, and of course we're talking about what's happening in the military academy, really what's the attack on our military by pushing women in the military, and we still have sort of a don't ask, don't tell attitude, but really, of course, the problem we increasingly have is we've lost the moral foundation of our military, and people who speak out against, in favor of Christianity in the military are ridiculed and demeaned and demonized, truly. And in fact, you know, will those cadets ever again dare to speak out and profess their Christian faith in public? Pick up the story, Colonel.
Well, that's going to be a very interesting point, because clearly, Lieutenant General Raza, what's really disturbing, of course, is let's how did this happen in part? Number one is, think about during the Clinton years, regardless of the fact that a lot of conservative groups were engaged, and there was a lot of resistance to Clinton policies. The Clinton attempt to put open homosexuality in the military was thwarted. Don't ask, don't tell was a compromise, but in point of fact, during the Clinton years, more people were discharged for homosexuality in the armed forces than they were in the preceding 8 years. But in point of fact, they controlled the promotion of senior flag and general officers. And there's no question that a politically correct agenda was being applied. The Army did a huge sexual misconduct survey in 1996 and in 1997, and then purged most of the data. They didn't like what they got from it. You might remember the name Sarah Lister. She was Assistant Secretary of the Army for Manpower and Reserve Affairs, a radical feminist, and she was involved in that whole issue. Remember that in 1992, I told you about the, and I've said this in other contexts, that I heard David Horowitz give testimony when I was a presidential commissioner in Los Angeles in August of 1992, and his testimony sheds a great deal of light on what's going on now during the Bush administration. And he said basically that he was raised by Bolsheviks dedicated to the subversion and overthrow of this country, and that they had captured all of our institutions. They had all been put on a humanist, a socialist, more of a globalist agenda, everything but the military, by the end of the Vietnam War, and in their revolutionary councils, including naming names of people who at that time were high-ranking public officials, Democratic public officials in the House of Representatives. He said that they determined the best way to undermine the American military was to push hard for women in combat and homosexuality in the armed forces. Now, this testimony was in August of 92, but he was talking about meetings that took place, revolutionary councils that took place in the late 1960s. I repeated that what I just said with David Horowitz sitting to my left at the Marine Corps Command and Staff College at Quantico, Virginia, in 1993. We were both on a panel, and he was nodding his head that I had accurately reflected his testimony. You might recall that in the 70s, when the ERA was the political agenda during the Carter years, the Equal Rights Amendment, that one of the reasons that Phyllis Schlafly was able to lead an effort to stop that was that the point of drafting women and women in combat was an issue that Americans weren't going to stand for. Even though Jimmy Carter was open to it, there was a key moment in 1979 when Ronald Reagan gave a speech in Charleston, South Carolina, after Carter and others had been. He absolutely denounced the notion of women in combat, and it was picked up on the news waves, went around the country, and it was a complete delineation of the position the Carter administration had taken and what Reagan was saying when he was running for president at that particular point in time. But the American people were overwhelmingly for it. I mean, for keeping the traditional ban on women serving in combat and even being deployed overseas. I faxed you before we did the show an article from the Marine Corps Times of last week, and the title is Lawmakers Eliminate Plan to Bar Women from Combat. And it's a story of what happened in the early part of June when Duncan Hunter, a Vietnam combat veteran, an Army Ranger, a very, very distinguished military service, and I think a true conservative in terms of the Goldwater Reagan sense of what a conservative stands for, he was trying to put limits on women being deployed, even if they weren't in combat arms, that is infantry, armor, and artillery, from being deployed in combat support units that would be put them in risk of wounded, killed, or captured. And he was confronted by a group of folks and capitulated completely because a group of so-called moderate Republicans were going to vote with the Democrats to keep for anything from happening that would limit military women being able to serve the way they want to serve. And there was an Air Force Academy graduate named Heather Wilson, a Republican from New Mexico, who had graduated in 1982, and she called it no compromise at all, a capitulation by the Republican leadership. So the last best chance in the House of Representatives, much more conservative than the Senate, passed last week with a capitulation by the Republicans. There is a 60-day notice rule so that if there's any change, the Army, the military is supposed to notify Congress 60 days before they make the change in the deployment of women. But in point of fact, 37 are dead. George W. Bush says he opposes women in combat, but 37 women are dead. And no one's speaking out about it. We're not hearing from Focus on the Family. We're not hearing from the religious right. We're not hearing from Dr. D. James Kennedy. We're not hearing from the Alliance Defense Fund. We're not hearing from the conservative folks that you and I both know quite well, Stan. They're not crying out about this. It's not a matter that they're going to criticize George W. and his administration, even when they know that what he's doing is wrong and undermines the combat capability of fighting forces in time of war.
Well, I wonder how the American people are going to respond. It's very obvious we're going to have a draft. It's been said we cannot be both a superpower and have an all-volunteer army. We can have one or the other, but we can't have both. And there's no question at all in my mind that they're planning on a draft, and when the president says he's not going to have a draft, why, he just wasn't being entirely forthright. In fact, it was John Kerry who was saying they're going to have a draft. And other presidents, oh, no, we wouldn't have to have a draft. But what are you going to do when young people are not volunteering for the military? And I'll tell you what, there are an awful lot of people who aren't going to volunteer even for the $40,000 bonus to go off in a fight in a war that they really wonder about. And then I wonder how the American people are going to feel about their daughters being sent off into combat situations.
Well, both of the bills that were introduced in 2003, and there was a vote, you might recall, and I did an article that was in Newsmax basically saying that's where we're going. And I said everything you said and outlined a number of indicators that we're getting ready for doing that. But in both bills, men and women were going to be drafted equally, and the age limits, the old Vietnam-era draft, the Korean-era draft, was 18 to 26. Right now, we're taking volunteers up to 39. 18 to 39, and so I think we could see a draft. I think we could see some form of compulsory national service. I think it will include men and women alike. You may have to, you may be able to select whether you want the military or some other form of national service, but I agree with you, and I think it's going to happen much sooner than later, and I guess when people will howl will be when they see their daughters receive a draft notice that they're to report for induction. And I think that they're going to wonder, where was the conservative movement? Where was the religious right? Where was the moral majority? Where was the so-called Republican Party that says they're the pro-family when we have six single mothers who've been died in combat, rendering the children orphans?
Well, I think would like your opinion if you're out there in the listening audience. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here on the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And if you honestly believe that they do not have plans for a draft, if you honestly believe that our boys will be and girls will be home by November of some year in the distant future from overseas. I'll never forget when George Bush was running for the presidency. He was very critical of Bill Clinton's agenda of sending troops into Bosnia and sending troops into Kosovo and deploying troops into Albania. But, of course, when he got in power, why, he's done exactly the same thing. There was no military justification for our going into Iraq, in my opinion. We were not told the truth. It was planned long ago, and anybody who really doubts this plan for invading Iraq, long antedated, even the election of George Bush, needs only to go to the Project for the New American website. That's the Project for the New American Century website, and look up the letters that you'll find there written by Dick Cheney and by Donald Rumsfeld in 1998, 2 years before, 3 years actually, before George Bush became the president in 2001. And here is Rumsfeld and Cheney and Wolfowitz and Liddy and Elliot Abrams and Kerry Bower and William Bennett, the Book of Values or Moral Values, I think Book of Values.
Book of Virtue.
Book of Virtue. All calling for an immediate war with Saddam Hussein. It was planned long ahead of time. When are the American people going to understand that government officials are not really being forthright with it? Well, let's go to Steve calling from Orange County. Hi, how are you doing, Steve?
Well, fine. I was the reason that more youth aren't volunteering for draft for military, common sense. And I think if we and I hope that we have enough people, if there is a draft, to say, I won't go.
All right. How would you respond to that, Colonel?
Well, you know, that's an interesting. I think the reasons why they're not. I think that no question that the credibility of the administration, weapons of mass destruction, the reasons given for war in the first place, the connections with Al Qaeda, the connection of the Iraqi regime with the attack on 9/11, which. Even Gary Trudeau said over and over again, I think there's a lack of credibility, but the fact that, which means there's not a meaning, there's not a necessity for this war. I think that's a big factor. Whether or not there's going to be a resistance to it, I'd say there would be some resistance to it, and that's why it may be modeled as some sort of a two-year some period of service, of national, compulsory national service, both within a civilian sector in certain areas, Peace Corps, as well as the military, and then they'll make a decision. Hope once people are drafted that that ones might want to choose the military. It's going to be a very divisive issue.
Yeah,
well, particularly when women are included, it's going to be an extraordinarily divisive issue.
Will they try to go after those who are over 40?
No, I doubt that. Like I said, that the traditional draft that we knew in World War II, Korea, and the Vietnam era, Elvis Presley was caught up in a very famous piece of history, was 18 to 26. 18 to 26, but they're taking people in some specialties as old as 39 years old.
I'm over the limit.
Yeah, you're over the limit. You're over the hill, Steve.
Praise God.
Yeah, thanks very much. God bless.
Bye.
Okay, let's go to Keith calling from Michigan. Keith, did you have a question or comment?
Yeah, I'm a first-time caller. I haven't listened for a whole long time, but I know that Dave and Joyce and Alex Jones, they're subscribers to the World Trade Center bombings and, you know, the attacks and the Pentagon. I'd like to know if you're kind of in that category, too.
Well, I that's a little off the subject, but if you can certainly go to my website and read my newsletters, and you'll find that I don't believe that the government's been entirely forthright. But thanks so very much. You can go to our website at RadioLiberty.com, and we have an extensive dissertation on that. So, but, you know, I think that the issue is not necessarily the World Trade Center, although I do have very strong views on that. That, you know, the question is, what is going to happen when they begin drafting women here in the United States? We know that, for instance, during the Civil War, there were massive draft riots. There were, my understanding, up to 2,000 people were actually killed rioting in the North during the Civil War because they didn't want to be involved in this.
New York City. Right. Exactly. First draft in 1863, I think, in early 1863.
People have forgotten the history. And in fact, an awful lot of people came to America because they didn't want to stay in Europe where their sons would be drafted to fight in the senseless wars of Europe. Where are the American parents? Why aren't they up in arms about what's going on today?
Well, can you imagine when people realize that this codification of the sexual revolution within those consensual sex and in fact, even the Military Law Review, which is the formerly the most prestigious journal in our armed forces, in 2004 published a radical pro-sexual misconduct polemic, calling and advocating for the elimination of a higher standard of conduct. In other words, whatever goes in the larger society goes in the military, and that he said that they should not embalm the precise morals of any age or place. And basically, the title is a joke, Prosecuting Indecent Conduct in the Military. Honey, should we get a legal review first? That's the title in a serious law journal making very light of the notion that sodomy, fornication, adultery, what have you, are still crimes in the armed forces, and that's about to change. And the last place where virtue was the first principle, honor was taught and in some places maintained, subordination was essential, and all of that means that you have combat capability, good order and discipline, which is essential to any successful military organization. The Americans took virtue and morality and enhanced what others were doing.
And I think you've made this point over really so many times, that the military has an entirely different function than regular society. The military's function is to defend our country and to fight wars and to win those wars. And you're not going to do it with a group of people whose mind is focused on sex and immorality. The camaraderie that exists between men is not the camaraderie that exists between men and women.
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, it really is a self-sacrifice. You put the good of the unit and its mission ahead of what's good for you. And in fact, what we're talking about in this failed civilian Kinsey model that the military is embracing as we speak, is a focus on self. It's a self-focus. And our society certainly has an extraordinary self-focus, and many of the Europeans and other nations have that are looking at it, once looked at America as a shining light on the hill. Certainly after World War II, certainly during the Cold War, we made more friends than we made enemies. No longer look at America that way, and this is going to be another area where they'll view us having given up something very precious, which we may not be able to get back.
We've lost the moral high ground. Colonel, we're just about out of time. Would you like to get your website out so people would know how to get in touch with you and get the information that you have available?
I'd be happy to. It's they might look at firstprinciplespress.org. First Principles, that's L-E-S, firstprinciplespress.org. And be happy to hear from you by email and supply information that you don't have. But keep listening to Liberty Radio. There's a lot of good information that has been extremely useful to me in my work that I've gotten from Dr. Stan.
Well, God bless you. And thanks very much, Colonel. And we'll look forward to having our other programs here. And getting this information out, the American people must understand that the American military is under attack, not from without, but from within today. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Thanks a lot, Stan. Bye.
Help you to understand the nature of the spiritual battle in which we're currently involved is Gary Kaw's book, The Demonic Roots of Globalism. Now, you may remember Gary Kaw's book, A Route to Global Occupation. His second book, The Demonic Roots of Globalism, goes into the very real spiritual forces, the dark and sinister spiritual forces, which have energized those people who are molding the world in which we live today. Going into the background of Masonry, Theosophy, and he actually quotes extensively from the writings of these people who have helped to mold the events of the 20th century. The Demonic Roots of Globalism by Gary Kaw will give you tremendous insight into the background of what's happening in America today. And unless you understand the spiritual forces at work, you really can't understand the unfolding of events. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for The Demonic Roots of Globalism by Gary Kaw.
Are you concerned about your child's future? Well, it starts with a sound education. VHM provides for that cornerstone of your child's future with a quality education founded on biblical principles. Our school sets high academic goals while developing moral standards. From preschool through eighth grade, your child is taught by experienced and credentialed teachers in all subjects, including our dynamic music program and state-of-the-art computer classes. Proverbs 22:6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." For over 50 years, VHM Christian School has provided peace of mind to parents knowing their children are receiving an excellent education in a loving environment. VHM is located at 427 Capitola Road Extension in Santa Cruz. Won't you call us today at 475-4762? That's VHM Christian School at 475-4762. Doesn't your child deserve a chance to try VHM?
Leading edge dentists know the profound effect dental materials and procedures have on the health of the entire body. If you've been searching for a holistic trained dentist who can safely treat you, look no further. Dr. David Biles has been a leader in the Santa Cruz dental community for nearly 20 years. He built a solid reputation providing exceptionally high quality cosmetic and restorative dental care long before learning the very real hazards of common dental practices. Now, as a faculty member of the Institute of Natural Dentistry, Dr. Biles has begun lecturing nationally to other dentists on alternative and complementary dental care. On request, Dr. Biles will safely remove toxic dental materials from your mouth while substituting them with safe, non-allergenic restorations. Call Dr. Biles today and take the next step to improve your health. With sedation and nitrous oxide available, Dr. Biles can help even the most anxious patients. Call 423-0121 and schedule a visit now. That's 423-0121.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and I hope you enjoyed our interview with Colonel Ray. He's certainly a good friend and somebody I always enjoy. Understand the military is under attack. They've already infiltrated the seminaries all across America. Look what has happened to the Catholic Church. They're spending billions of dollars because of sexual misbehavior on the part of the Catholic priests, and we have the same problem in the Protestant Church. Don't think for one moment we don't. It is not getting quite the play. But you have to understand there is an attack on the moral foundation of our society. Now, where did it all come from? Well, one of the major sources, of course, is the great tax-exempt foundations. They've been working for almost a century to destroy the foundation, the moral foundation of our society. And the best study of this is the book we've kept in print for many years. It's a book that changed my life over 40 years ago. It's called Foundations, Their Power and Influence. And we were actually given the opportunity to republish the book a decade ago. We've kept it in print. Foundations, Their Power and Influence is must reading for anybody who really wants to understand what's going on today. So if you'd like to get a copy of Foundations, Their Power and Influence, which will show you how the Rockefeller Foundation and the Carnegie Foundation and the Ford Foundation have been financing communism and socialism and trying to destroy this country, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. If you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, shame on you. You need to get it. You need to read it. You need to reread it. You need to watch the video, the audio tape. You can get the book by itself or the video or the audio tape or get them all together on the Brotherhood of Darkness special for $29.95. But we want you to get that information. We want you to get it into other people's hands. And then if you really want to get into the spiritual forces that are at work behind the scenes, you need to get the book Lucifer's Children, or the video by the same name. And then, of course, we also carry Constance Cumby's wonderful book, The Hidden Dangers of the Rainbow. Where does Masonry fit into this? Where does Theosophy fit into this? Where does Rosicrucianism fit into this? Where do all of the other very real secret societies fit into this whole scheme of things? We have a four-tape set on Skull and Bones. We have a four-tape set on the Bohemian Grove, and we have books on Skull and Bones. We have the membership list actually published by Skull and Bones, which you're not going to find elsewhere. We have the book Secrets of the Tomb, Alexandra Robbins' wonderful book on Skull and Bones, and understand that, of course, the people who are in this organization are part of a satanic organization. And they've sworn horrible oaths, and anybody who wanted, of course, to leave the organization should renounce it publicly. But nobody ever has. They would be afraid to because, of course, they know what, of course, the cost would be to them personally. So, again, if you'd like to learn more about Skull and Bones, about the pagan foundation of this, about their pagan ceremonies by people who actually witnessed it, you need to get our four-tape set on Skull and Bones or Alexandra Robbins' excellent book. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. What most people find so difficult to realize, if there really are secret societies, they've been around for thousands of years, they leave their emblems every place. The swastika is an emblem of the ancient secret societies. If you haven't read Dr. Kathy Byrne's wonderful book, Occult Symbols, Occult and Freemasonic Symbols, or Occult and Masonic Symbols, you need to get it. And then, of course, you can recognize these. You see them everywhere. They're hidden in plain sight. So that's Dr. Kathy Byrne's book on occult symbols. And then, of course, some of our books on Masonry Beyond the Light, Behind the Lodge Door, explains to you how the Masons took over our court system back in 1941. And you wonder why we're having the problems we are today. And why don't our religious leaders tell us that the Masons controlled the Supreme Court between 1941 and 1971, and people with similar views are still working there today? Pray for America. Pray for revival. Please pray for Radio Liberty. Until tomorrow at the same time, may the Lord be with you.